Along the way, Libby realized, the cascade of interactions creates a trickle of carbon-14, or C14, a mildly radioactive form of carbon that over time disintegrates, decays, as scientists say, back into ordinary non-radioactive carbon. Libby determined that the rate at which cosmic rays create C14 is roughly equal to the rate at which it decays. As a result, a small but steady percentage of the carbon in air, sea, and land consists of C14. Plants take in C14 through photosynthesis. Herbivores take it in from the plants, and carnivores take it in from them. In consequence, every living cell has a low but consistent level of C14. They are all very slightly radioactive, a phenomenon that Libby first observed empirically. When people, plants, and animals die, they stop assimilating C14. The C14 already inside their bodies continues to decay, and as a result, the percentage of C14 in the dead steadily drops. The rate of decline is known precisely. Every 5,730 years, half of the C14 atoms in non-living substances become regular carbon atoms. By comparing the C14 level in bones and wooden implements to the normal level in living tissues, Libby reasoned, scientists should be able to determine the age of these objects with unheard-of precision. It was as if every living creature had an invisible radioactive clock in its cells. One of the first tasks assigned to the new technique was determining the age of the Clovis culture. Much of the work occurred at the University of Arizona in Tucson, which in 1958 established the world's first major archaeological carbon dating laboratory. At the new lab was a doctoral student named C. Vance Haynes. Haynes was a mining engineer who became fascinated by archaeology during a stint in the Air Force. While serving at a base in the Southwest, he began collecting arrowheads, a hobby that ultimately led to his abandoning geology and coming to the University of Arizona as a graduate student in archaeology. As the Clovis culture dates crossed his lab bench, Haynes was struck by their consistency. No matter what the location of a site, carbon dating showed that it was occupied between 13,500 and 12,900 years ago. To Haynes, with his geologist's training, the dates were auspicious. The Clovis culture arose just after the only time period in which migration from Siberia had been possible. In a crisply argued paper in Science in 1964, Haynes drew attention to the correlation between the birth of an ice-free trans-Canadian corridor and the abrupt appearance of Clovis artifacts some 700 years later. 13,000 to 14,000 years ago, he suggested, a window in time opened. During this interval, and for all practical purposes only during this interval, Paleo-Indians could have crossed Beringia, slipped through the ice-free corridor, and descended into southern Alberta, from where they would have been able to spread throughout North America. The implication was that every Indian society in the hemisphere was descended from Clovis. The people at Blackwater Draw were the ancestral culture of the Americas.